So if you're visiting with us today, we're in the book of Titus, and today we'll be putting good works into order, and next week will be part two of putting good works into order, because some of those passages, there's some things that we need to, that'll be very pertinent for us to go over, but today we'll be talking about good works. So the book of Titus, or the letter to Titus, is a letter from Paul to a man named Titus who is on an island called Crete in the Mediterranean. And he's been left there by Paul because he is to put what remains into order. We're wondering, what are those things? We've been looking at some of those things that he needs to put into order. And some of those things we looked at were to put elders in all of these churches. We talked about that the first couple of weeks. Elders are men who are called by the Holy Spirit to shepherd these churches and teach them the Word of God. And the reason that these churches needed elders was to protect them from false teachers. We looked at that. There are false teachers on the island of Crete. It seems they're going around teaching some strange things. And we mentioned that sound doctrine is important, because sound doctrine is a force field against false teaching. So sound doctrine will deflect the false teaching that people may have. Well, last week we also saw that sound doctrine propels us forward in godliness. It's not just about having sound doctrine, but sound doctrine should produce godly living. It should change the way that we act and live. If we really want to live in obedience to Jesus Christ, then we need to know His Word. And His Word changes us and trains us to live godly lives. Well, today, I want you to see something else that sound doctrine does. It does a third thing. It equips us for good works. Sound doctrine equips us for good works. 2 Timothy, by the way, this is not in my notes today, 2 Timothy says this about good works. All Scripture, sound doctrine, is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. So sound doctrine equips us for good works. Let me pray briefly. God, you know I need your help this morning. And I thank you that it's really about your Holy Spirit's work here through your Word. And so I pray that you will take the Word of God and use it for your purposes in our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So I want to read again Titus chapter 2. So if you have a Bible, Titus chapter 2 is where we are. And verse 11, we're really going to focus in on verses 14 and then chapter 3, verse 1. It says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation for all people." We mentioned last week that that actually means, in context, all kinds of people. Even slaves that he just mentioned before this. "Training us to renounce ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age. Waiting for our blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works." Now, I want us to see this morning just how often good works shows up in the letter to Titus. Good works shows up in various places, and I want to ask some questions after that about good works. So, for example, good works in the letter to Titus. In chapter 1, verse 16, he's speaking about the false teachers. This is what he says about them. He says, "They profess to know God, but they deny Him by their works." Chapter 1, verse 16. "They are unfit for any good work. So these false teachers, he says, are unfit for any good work. So in order to refute their teaching, Titus and the elders are to know and to teach sound doctrine. But in order to refute the way that these guys are living, their actions, what are they to do? They are to live the opposite way and be people of good works. So the false teachers are unfit for any good work. But what does he say about how the people of God are to live? Titus chapter 2, verse 7 says this: "Show yourself in all respects, Titus, to be a model of good works." So Titus is to be a model of good works. "And in your teaching, show integrity, dignity, and sound speech that cannot be condemned, so that an opponent may be put to shame, having nothing evil to say about us." So Titus is to be a model of good works in all respects. No pressure, Titus. But you are to be, in all respects, a model of good works. Likewise, the elders are told in chapter 1, verse 8, that they are to be lovers of good. Lovers of good. So the false teachers are unfit for any good work on this island of Crete, but Titus himself is to be a model of good works. Let's look at another place where it's mentioned. In our text today, we saw in chapter 2, verse 14, Jesus gave himself to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for himself a people for his own possession, who are zealous for good works. Now this phrase, "a people for his own possession," here means that Jesus died to have a people who belong to him. A people who belong to him. A people who belong to him and are zealous for good works. What does it mean to be zealous for good works? That's an interesting phrase, isn't it? Now, zealous originally comes from the word zeo, which means boiling. Boiling or fervent. It literally means heat, to boil something. But later it came to be known as something meaning enthusiastic. Enthusiastic. But not just enthusiastic about good works. I'm really excited about good works. It's zealous for good works, meaning you're actually doing them, not just excited about them. So the churches, the people who belong to Jesus, these people for his own possession, are to be red hot, as we would say, where I'm from, for good works. Red hot for good works. What would it look like to be red hot or to be zealous for good works? What might that look like for us? We're going to look at that in a moment. So Titus is to be a model of good works, and the people are to be enthusiastic or boiling red hot for good works. That's another place. Look at chapter 3, verse 1. We read it earlier. Here's what it says about good works here. "Remind them to be submissive to rulers and authorities and to be obedient and to be ready for every good work." Now this means to be prepared. It's pretty easy to understand. So Titus is to be a model of good works. The people are to be zealous for good works. And here he says they are to be ready for good works. Chapter 3, verse 8, we see good works again. "The saying is trustworthy, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have believed in God may be careful to devote themselves to good works. These things are excellent and profitable for people." He mentions again in chapter 14. In chapter 14, just a few verses down, again, he says this: do your best to speed Zenas the lawyer and Apollos on their way. See that they lack nothing. And let our people learn to devote themselves to good works. Similar to what Gene was saying. Don't be dependent upon somebody else, but instead devote yourself to good works so as to help cases of urgent need and not be unfruitful. Devote here means literally to lead out in, to lead in. So God's people are to lead out in good works. Think about that in society. Who's supposed to be doing the best works in this city? It should be us. So I think as many times as we see good works in the letter to Titus, which is a very small letter, God is trying to say something to the people at Crete. And He's trying to say something to us. Titus is to be a model of good works. And the people who belong to Jesus Christ are to be prepared and devoted to enthusiastically do good works in society and the world in which they live. Now, interestingly enough, we're Protestants. We're not Catholics. But it seems that Protestants have fought so hard over the last 500 years to make sure that we don't talk about good works. We talk about being justified by faith and not by our works, that in some ways we have neglected to say very much about good works. So we've thrown the baby out with the bathwater, we say. We focus so much on being saved by faith that we don't even talk about good works very much. But Ephesians 2, 8 through 10 makes it very clear for us, doesn't it? For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. Right? So we're not saved by our works, we're saved by faith. But then he says this, for we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. So Christians, we are not saved by works, but we also, when we become a Christian, don't just say, I'm not going to do anything. So there's a couple of questions as I studied this passage, this text, this letter that I have been thinking and you may be thinking as well. Number one, let's ask this question. What are good works? What are good works? Is everything that I do that seems to be good a good work? Is washing the dog a good work? Well, it could be. Could be washing the dog because someone else is supposed to be doing it, but because I love them, I'm doing it for them. That would be loving my neighbor, right? Or my daughter, or my wife, or whoever. What about witnessing? Is that a good work? What about prayer? What about giving money? Helping someone? Well, specifically in the letter to Titus, we don't really have to guess what some of the good works are because we've already seen in chapter 2, verses 1 through 10, are some ways that we can do good works. Actually, he says it is ways that we adorn or be clothed with the doctrine of God our Savior. Ways that we put on or we take on and we flesh out the teachings of Scripture. We saw that in verses 1 through 10 of chapter 2. But what are good works? So here's my definition of good works. I hope this is accurate. Here's my definition of good works. Taking from things I'm looking at and trying to discern here. Good works is this. Doing anything that God has commanded in His Word for the good of others and for His glory. Good works is doing anything that God has commanded in His Word for the good of others and for His glory. Now, why do we have to say for His glory? Because Jesus already told us in Matthew 5:16, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father who is in heaven." And in Matthew chapter 6, He makes it very clear that if you give money to the poor, or if you're praying, or if you're fasting to be seen by others doing these good works, you have no reward for that. It is to be done for your Father who sees in secret. So good works is doing anything that God has commanded in His Word for the good of others and for the glory of God. Well, let's be real practical for a second. What are some good things that we can do? What are some good works that we can do? Where in your sphere of influence, your family, church, neighbors, co-workers, friends, can you and I do good works? Well, let's talk about VBS for a second. We just finished a whole week of Vacation Bible School. Is Vacation Bible School a good work? Is that a good work? Well, is doing VBS something that God has commanded in His Word for the good of others, for the glory of God? Yes. Luke chapter 18, verse 16, "Let the children come to Me, and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God." So what did we do this past week? Gave of time and energy and resources so that children could hear the gospel and know Jesus and come to Jesus. What about missions? Is doing world missions a good work? Matthew 28, "As you are going, make disciples of all nations." Doing something that God has told us to do for the good of others and for the glory of God. What about parenting? You may wonder if your parenting this week was a good work. Deuteronomy chapter 6, "You shall teach the Word of God diligently to your children and shall talk of them when you sit in your house and when you walk on the road." Parenting day in and day out is a good work that we are doing for the good of others and the glory of God. What about this one? "Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you." What about this? "Love your neighbor as you love yourself." So if you love your neighbor, you're doing a good work. What about this one? "Husbands, love your wives as Christ loved the church and gave Himself up for her." There are a million different things that we could point to today that would be good works. The Bible is very, very general when it comes to good works. But what makes it good is that these works are tied to something that God, who alone is good, has commanded us to do in His Word. So there's a connection between adorning the Scriptures and doing the good works that God has commanded us to do. Sound doctrine equips us for good works in that way. Well, what's the key to unlocking good works? What's the key to unlocking good works? Or maybe another way to say it is, how do I get there? What I mean by that is, well, when I look at my life, maybe I'm not even really thinking day in and day out about doing good works for others. How can I be like Titus, or like those to whom Titus is ministering among, people who are zealous for good works? How can I be red-hot enthusiastic for good works, or prepared for good works, or leading out and being devoted to good works? How can I get there? Well, number one is this: adorn the doctrine. He's told us that right there in chapter 2, verse 10, right before He mentions this. Adorn the doctrine. We won't be equipped to do good works if we aren't being changed by the Holy Spirit through the transforming power of the Word of God. we're not going to be transformed and even want to do good works unless we are adorning the doctrine of God our Savior. So number one, we have to adorn the doctrine. We have to know the Word of God. We have to be in the Word of God so that we can be changed and want to do the good works that God has commanded us. Number two, another key to unlocking a life of good works is one another. Did you know Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 tells us this? Let us consider how to stir up one another to love and good works. One of the reasons we have one another, that word, by the way, stir up, means is an acidic word. It means to agitate. You may say, well, you guys agitate me all the time, but it's not to love and good works. Well, we should be agitating one another toward love and good works. Spur, some of your translations say. Stir up. So we are actually supposed to be helping one another to do the commands of God, to do the works of God. Number one, adorn the doctrine of God. Know the Bible so that you even know what good works you're supposed to do. Number two, life of good works comes from considering other people stirring us up toward love and good works. Number three, and lastly, to unlock a life that is zealous for good works means that we have to give. This is not a sermon on money. I'm not talking about money. Maybe money, but not specifically. As I have tried to digest so many different passages in the Bible and so many different people in the Bible who did good works, which I don't have time today to go through. We'll talk some more about that next week. It seems to me that good works involves giving in some way. My pastor used to say this all the time, we are never more like Jesus than when we give. We are never more like Jesus than when we give. And I'm talking about giving yourself. Good works involves selflessness. Good works involves losing. Good works involves humility, not selfishness, gaining, and pride, but losing and giving. Good works gives time, gives energy, gives effort, gives money. If we're going to do good works, it means giving up a certain lifestyle, giving away something. Maybe it means giving up on our dreams for others. Or it gives up living a life in the UK that you could just have a great life in the UK. But in order to do good works, you give up that life and serve among the nations. It gives up a career that you could have to do the good works of loving your children. Doing good works gives up a dream job to care for an elderly mom or dad. Good works gives up a place in line, gives up being number one, and takes second place on purpose. And that's hard. So if we're going to do good works, it involves losing something and giving up something. Now, in closing, how do I know that giving is a key to unlocking a life of good works? How do I know that? Let me ask you this question. What is the greatest work ever accomplished? You ever thought about that? In the span of time, in time from the beginning of creation to now, what is the greatest work that has ever been accomplished? What's the greatest work ever been done on this planet? Titus told us in chapter 2, verse 14. Our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave Himself up for us to redeem us from all lawlessness and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession who are zealous for good works. The greatest work ever accomplished on earth is Jesus Christ giving up Himself for us. You remember my definition of what is good works? I lost it in my notes. Doing anything that God has commanded. God commanded Jesus for the good of others and for the glory of God. He gave up Himself. We are to follow in our Lord's footsteps now and to give and to give and to give of ourselves in obedience to God's commandments as people who belong to Him for good works. Red hot, ready devotion to good works. In this little tiny letter, good works shows up that much. Can I be honest with you? This is hard for me. At root, I'm a very selfish person. I don't really like to give up. I don't really like to do what others need for me to do. At root, I like to do what I want to do. I don't enjoy losing. I enjoy having things my way. But in order to do good works, it literally means that Shannon has to die daily. Zealous for good works. Ready for good works. Devoted to good works. What would happen to this city? What would happen to this city if we were able, by God's grace, if we adorned ourselves with the doctrine of God in such a way that His Word just flows out of us in godly action? And what if we stirred one another up in such a way toward love and good works that we were zealous for good works and said, you know, Clearwater Bay, that's just a people who give and give and give and give. How could we impact this city? How could we impact the world? Let's pray together. Almighty God, I pray that You would, through Your Holy Spirit, You might convict and encourage and strengthen our church in good works. God, make us red hot, boiling, enthusiastically zealous for good works. Grant us the grace that daily we might be people who are on the lookout, ready, taking the lead in strategizing our whole day to simply say, I'm going to be looking all day long for ways to do good works to others for the glory of God. God, You know that I don't want to just preach this message or read these scriptures, but I desperately need You to help me, to work in me in such a way that You will prune away the rough edges and the cultural bent that I have and the selfish heart that I have to not want to do things for others or give or lose or die. So have your way in us, have your way in me, I pray in Christ's name. Amen.